A rapidly changing college football landscape, players voicing their experiences in ways they haven't, or ways that haven't been amplified, more specifically. Clemson and Dabo Swinney at the center of that. Swinney's 14 minutes on video, his second public statement this week, again defending assistant head coach Danny Perriman, who used the N-word at practice 3 years ago. Swinney said he didn't call a player it, and it was handled internally, and nothing was swept under the rug. Also, his two biggest stars who've made it to the NFL, speaking about the culture of the university, asking for the John C. Calhoun, seventh vice president, slavery defender, honors program to be renamed for the school to disassociate. That's Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Clinton Yates, Jackie McMullen, Israel Gutierrez, welcome to the program. Jackie, I'll start with you here first on Dabo. He's certainly speaking with conviction here. How is it registering with you?
Well, it's a little confusing to me. I understand. I think he's trying to work with semantics here in terms of what his assistant coach said and why he said it. It's still obviously a lightning rod of a word. Always has been, always will be. And he talks about having communicated with it and we handled it internally and all as well. Well, then why some 3 years later is one of your players tweeting about it? And he was tweeting about it because it bothered him, and yet no one ever spoke to him about it. So when I hear these things and when I see a photo of Dabo Swinney wearing a Football Matters shirt over the weekend when we're in the middle of this really turbulent time, how can anyone even be thinking about Football Matters? We're in the middle of this very serious talk about social injustice. So for me, it's, and we keep saying this over and over, Tony, it's just a lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. Please be aware of what is going on around you. Please understand why this matters, you know?
We did address that shirt yesterday, specifically, National Football Foundation. That was a campaign for character and sportsmanship. And that was worn by Swinney at the beach and photographed just once. Israel Gutierrez, can I bring you in here as well? Swinney, and how this is registering with you.
I mean, it sits very poorly with me. I mean, for starters, the idea of him saying we didn't sweep this under the rug. Look, if he also, and he often says this, Dabo Swinney, that he is a coach, that he wants his players to develop, he wants to raise men. And have this opportunity after this incident to have this conversation in your locker room to better yourself by taking in information from your players and better your players for just experiencing this and having this conversation. That was available to you, and that is what a good leader would have done in that scenario. Now it comes across as entirely tone deaf, and Dabo Swinney sort of digging his heels in at this time about that subject is absolutely tone deaf, and he needs to speak to his players, and his players, most importantly, need to speak to him.
Clinton Yates, on how this is registering with you.
It's more than tone deaf. It's wildly inappropriate for two reasons. Number one, if you're going to go out and tell people that you'd fire anybody who uses that word under no circumstances and with no questions asked, and then not do it after describing a person who did use the word, you're not making sense. Secondarily, if you look at the specifics of that scenario, I've talked before about clubhouse and locker room environments. If a coach was admonishing another player for using it and had to use that word in order for that to happen in front of other people, well, then your chain of command and discipline is messed up. Let me tell you who should regulate who should use that word and who shouldn't. We, as in Black Americans. Everybody else, just don't use it. I don't care what the circumstances are. That's the simple way to avoid this kind of problem. So Dabo being disingenuous on top of not even following through with his own methods for dealing with discrepancies in these kind of language matters, it doesn't add up to me, man. I'm not buying it. This sounds like a guy who lived his whole life in Alabama and South Carolina, which is true.
He is speaking from emotion. He is speaking from his own personal faith. He's gone back to that in both of his public statements. Real quick, since Jackie brought up the T-shirt, Clinton Yates, do you see something different with the T-shirt, the Football Matters T-shirt?
I'm willing to give the T-shirt a pass. I'm willing to give the T-shirt a pass simply because it's crass. I get it, but like it was a tweet, it was deleted. That is not the larger issue for me. What that guy wears on his chest, how he communicates to the Black men whose living rooms he goes into, and they trust him with who they are. That is what concerns me. And him regulating their language through one way or another is not okay. And more importantly, it's not productive, as we can see.
Does anybody think? Well, let's just talk about Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins again. Remember, these the two biggest stars to come out of this program. And now Hopkins is saying, you know, the reason why I don't say Clemson when I'm introducing myself at NFL games is because of the John C. Calhoun Honors Program in this school. And I don't want to be associated with that at all. So I wonder about that specifically, Clinton, here. Does that make you think Clemson has some work to do to continue to recruit players and still be a school that can welcome all players to the school?
Absolutely. Clemson's campus alone has dealt with issues about this. If you want to look up the story of Tillman Hall, you can do that on your own. But I don't want to single out Clemson when it comes to the notion of names of people in history who have reprehensible pasts being on things that we all use. This is an American problem that happens to be specific to the American South. I mean, heck, Thomas Jefferson created the University of Virginia. You can look around any school and find any of this stuff. So while Clemson has its issues, this school specifically is not the only one that is worried about that kind of thing overall. You see the statues coming down across the globe, not just on college campuses.
No, of course. Israel, anything Hopkins or Watson said here draw your attention?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people will take this as sort of an insult to the history of our country. And frankly, it would be fine if you did. But for those who are saying that, look, we can evolve, we can improve, and that can be what sort of our calling card as a country is, evolving as human beings and bettering ourselves. So it doesn't have to be us sort of taking down a portion of American history because of something that he did or supported that was awful. Doesn't mean that it condemns everything in the past and everything that this country stands for. Yeah. Let's look at it for what it is.
And Jackie?
Listen, the fact that DeAndre Hopkins gets on a national broadcast and refuses to say he's from Clemson University when he gets introduced before a game. I didn't know that. Maybe you guys did. I find that stunning. And if Clemson isn't listening before, I would certainly hope they'd be listening now and try to ask DeAndre Hopkins why he feels so strongly about his alma mater that he won't even say the name out loud on national television.
Mm-hmm. I think an instructive thing about all this may be the most obvious. This is higher education, right? I mean, is there a group of athletes more disenfranchised than the college athlete? The women's college athlete, yes, the answer to that question. But we're seeing programs now take their teams to register to vote. That's great. Also great, the education part of higher education. What are we teaching in the schools, right? What version of history are we teaching? I saw somebody in one of the protests, or maybe it was on Twitter, say, "Yeah, this is the white man's greatest hits media here that we're listening to." And the question I would ask there is, well, how do we change that? And you look at college professors, roughly 84% are white. And you look at the schools that are named after John C. Calhoun. You can teach that part of history without eliminating it all. You just have to speak to it in the truest forms. I want more on this. I want more on education. I want more on the college athlete. We'll get to it in 2 minutes when we talk about Iowa football.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour.
Continuing this discussion on college athletes, Iowa, another school that is a flashpoint after so many former players came forward and the school put a strength coach on administrative leave. Look at this post from sophomore defensive back Kayvon Merriweather. Players now telling fans, if you don't support us now, don't support us during the football season. We will kneel. Don't come to the game. Don't watch us on TV if you don't support us. Merriweather's saying he'd rather play in front of 1,000 who care about him as a person than 70,000 who want to just be entertained. Clinton Yates, how do you read that? And how do you think this all plays out?
I read this as a very courageous statement from a student athlete who is willing to explain the realities of sacrifice that it takes to be a part of teams like this. He's basically coming out and saying, listen, this ain't as fun as you think. So all these comments about you guys should be grateful and all these stay in your place remarks, well, people have to realize they're dealing with a lot of things that are flatly just considered abuse in their eyes. And so the privilege of being able to play for whoever the school is not always what it seems. And I applaud him for being able to say it so plainly. We don't need you there because we ain't really playing for y'all because y'all ain't there when we're doing the work and taking the noise from the coaches. I'm really proud of this kid for coming out and saying it the way he did.
We haven't heard from Kirk Ferentz. 21 years head coach at Iowa, the highest paid state employee in the state of Iowa. Clinton Yates, how do you think he responds to this?
I think Kirk is a guy who's been there for long enough that he can get this, not under the rug, but he can speak about this diplomatically enough to change it. But we talked before about whether or not this is going to affect recruiting. If Kirk doesn't make it clear that he is going to soften what that program is in terms of how they are bringing people in and how they are basically dealing with the black athlete, that's going to change things big time at Iowa, because as it looks right now, they appear to be insensitive and on top of that, arrogant. And that's not a good way to look.
The last week for this program, Israel, coach put on an administrative leave, just spoke about Ferentz. Well, the greatest receiver in the history of the school has talked about how Kirk Ferentz undercut his entire career and his hope to play pro as well. That story's out there as well. And now a player saying, don't come to the games if you don't support us. How do you read it?
So, you know, I look at this and I see it very similar to the Clemson situation in that it is not just an Iowa problem. I guarantee you there are players across the country at different universities that feel, black players or players of color who feel like they're being slightly mistreated or very much mistreated by coaches, strength coach, or what have you. The way I see this one is it just needs to be discussed and needs to be talked about. And I am going to say this, and I'm going to say this a lot. I'm going to believe black players. I believe black people the same way we believe women when we talk about, you know, the Me Too movement and everything else. And if the strength and conditioning coach, if Kirk Ferentz does not believe that there have been any wrongdoings over the course of years towards their players, then they perhaps need to be educated on exactly what's been going on. So I believe what's, you know, I believe all of it, and I would like it to be addressed. Of course.
And Jackie Mack, when you hear a player tell fans, don't show up if you don't support us as people, what do you think?
So I think Izzy hit on the word, and it's education. That's really what this is all about. It's clear to me there's a huge divide between African Americans in our country and white people who live with them every day. We all need to be educated. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean everybody's so defensive about it. If you're the part of the Iowa program, if you're Kirk Ferentz, stop, look, and listen to a young sophomore on your team who is trying to make a statement, not just for the program, but for you as well. Sit down, listen. Education is the word. Let's educate ourselves about where we can make this divide smaller.
The expression is those who don't learn from history or fail to repeat it. And the question I ask is, what happens if you never were taught the history to begin with, or the history wasn't accurate to begin with? That's the failing as well. Thanks for your thoughts on this. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back in 2 minutes, Dalvin Cook's holdout and Ben Simmons' workout.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour.
Dalvin Cook's holdout. 1 year left on his rookie deal. This is what? The Ezekiel Elliott, the Le'Veon Bell, the Melvin Gordon strategy? Israel Gutierrez, what position is Cook in? What position are the Vikings in?
Well, if it's a matter of principle, good for him. You know, he can stand up for all the running backs and stand up for himself. But if it's a financial decision, it can't be a smart one to hold out with the CBA, because if he holds out, he probably will lose his unrestricted free agency by a year. And so that just costs him money right there. It's not a good move.
Do you believe he's going to play this year? Is he going to a Le'Veon Bell place? Oh, you do. Okay.
I think he will give in. I think the Vikings will give in a little.
Mm-hmm. Jackie?
I think he's going to give in, too, and I understand he feels underpaid, but there are plenty of other running backs just like him that are underpaid. Look at Aaron Jones. He's going to make $735,000 this year. He had 16 touchdowns, tied with Derrick Henry for the most in the NFL.
Glenn Yates.
He's only asking for a reasonable extension, which standing next to Kirk Cousins is a lot more money than what we're talking about. It's going to be acrimonious, but he's going to play because his quarterback is that much richer than everybody, but he has to be there.
I knew you were going to make it about Kirk Cousins. We'll move on. Now that's Dalvin Cook's holdout. Now this is Ben Simmons' workout. Ben Simmons, muscles on muscles. Yeah, this is the photo he posted out here. Now, I'm sure you want to see him taking shots, but he's doing some reps here. Clinton Yates, muscles a good thing for Ben Simmons?
There's two good things that are happening about this. Number one, Simmons is obviously a big fan of the Izzy Gutierrez workout plan. Number two is that he's got the karate-style headband where you tie it at the back at the NBA band, which is ridiculous.
Okay, yes, I get it. You got jokes on his look and everything like that. Last we talked about Ben Simmons is he would need to take a jump shot every now or then. Him working out to this degree and seeing those muscles, Jackie Mack, does that work for a shooter?
I'm bullish on Ben Simmons. He's been working with Chris Johnson, one of the trainers, and they were working on all sorts of things, ball handling, shooting, and conditioning. This is a good thing. Don't turn it into a bad one.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez?
As someone with severe, not severe, with some back problems, if he's working out like that, I know his back is okay, so that makes me happy. The jump shot we'll deal with later.
This is not about your back, Israel. This has nothing to do with your back.
What?
Does Ben Simmons need to add a jump shot to his game? The answer to that is absolutely
yes.
Of course.
Okay?
Yeah.
And now, you don't
and
need to see pictures. You don't need to see pictures to prove that he's working on it here. But there is some worry that people with muscles can't take jump shots. That's what I worried about with Israel Gutierrez. I played full court with Israel before. You pull up from 35.
I will prove it to you at the park. Prove it to you at the park.
Yeah, you put a dent in the backboard is what you do. All right, that's it for us here. You all get a third of a win, I guess, right? 23-hour and 40-minute break. We'll see you tomorrow.